Community Voices with Ron Holland.
In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting.
Community Voices with Ron Holland.
Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. On Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
And a good morning to you. Welcome to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. We have another provocative and thought-provoking show for you this morning. We're now in the unfortunate position of having to protect ourselves from the police. Yeah, I said it. Case after case after case. It is abundantly clear to me, family, that the police are not interested in protecting and serving our community. They are there as an occupying force, bent on harassing and terrorizing and exerting control. I know you're not going to hear this from anyone else, but I'm going to say it. It's unfortunate, folks, with the power of the state, with the ability to cover their sadistic behavior with police reports and a legal system that gives them the benefit of the doubt instead of the vulnerable community that they're supposed to serve, the community that they are terrorizing. We have, folks, no alternative but to rethink how we relate to the police. Look at the recent spate of cases. Deshaun Curry, just a few days ago, a black kid in North Carolina, adopted by a white family, is profiled, harassed, pepper sprayed, handcuffed in his own home because the white police believed he was lying about the fact that he actually lived there because there were no black photographs on the wall. Some neighbor called in the police suggesting that this guy, this kid, Deshaun Curry, was breaking into his own home. Well, he wasn't breaking in. He actually walked through the front door. Police arrived. They harassed him, suggesting that because there are only white photographs of white kids on the wall, that he was lying. So ultimately, he was pepper sprayed and handcuffed. And then, of course, according to the police report, he became belligerent. You know, I am telling you right now, these folks can say anything they want on a police report. Make it sound flowery. Use a provocative language to suggest that we are being belligerent when they bring to that experience the notion of exerting control over a situation and over people. Police in New York, caught on video just this week, punching a defenseless kid in the face, knocking him to the ground. And he apparently was carrying marijuana. He was running from the police. Police gave chase. When the police officer caught up to this kid, the kid appeared to be trying to give up. The police cold-cocked this kid, knocked him to the ground. And then they were caught punching and taunting the kid as he's laying on the ground. We are now in the unfortunate position of having to protect ourselves against these kinds of police. While other communities, particularly and especially the white community, enjoy the privilege of having police protect and serve them, it appears that thugs in police uniform are free to roam, patrol, and terrorize our community. You look at what happened in Indiana. Lisa Mahone and Jamal Jones being terrorized by Hammond, Indiana police while they were driving to the hospital to see Mahone's dying mother. They are terrorizing us. And I want to be clear, I'm loathed to trot out the standard disclaimer that not all cops are bad. This is probably a true statement, but until so-called good cops are willing to slap cuffs on these thugs in uniform, passing themselves off as police officers, until they're willing to slap cuffs on those thugs, the notion of good cops remain in question for me. The nation is yet again having to discuss yet another case of excessive force by police. I think about it. I've been watching this video of Lisa Mahone and Jamal Jones, who was a passenger in the car, by the way. Again, they rushing to see her dying mother. Mahone driving, pulled over by a police officer who was in a previous stop, saw Mahone passing. He gets in his squad car and he's hurrying to stop them in a manner which was literally threatening to that family because he was all over the road trying to pull them over. She nervously pulls her car over. Officers get out of the vehicle, and then all of a sudden, this altercation happens. And it's an altercation that is not obviously favorable to this family. And during a 13-minute, very intense encounter in which both Mahone and Jones feared for their safety, officers demand for Jones to produce identification. Now, Jones, he explains to the officers that because of a previous motor vehicle violation, he didn't have a license, and he produced some type of paperwork, some type of ticket that substantiates why he's without a license or a picture ID. I want you to take a listen to the absolute horror that this family experienced.
I guess he's looking for his information in his book bag. When he digs in his book bag, they pulls a gun out. What was the purpose of a gun? And now they asking me to open my door so I can get out. I'm scared. If you can pull out a gun in front of two, it's two kids in the back seat.
Open the door for you. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right.
No, don't mess my, now they about to mess my, no!
I'm not the operator
in this vehicle. Now they about to mess my window.
So if you do that, all right. I'm not the operation in this vehicle.
Are you going to open the door?
Why do you say somebody's not going to hurt you? People are getting shot by the police.
Oh, shit. Damn.
That was crazy. That was horrible. This is a horrible situation. This is, wait, are you recording that?
Yeah.
This is terrible.
Now that's a terrifying experience for any family, particularly when you have children in the car. Mahone and Jones have filed charges against the officers for excessive force, and now we have learned that two of the officers were the subject of previous lawsuits for essentially the same kind of excessive force, with the exception of there was a physical altercation in the previous cases. And so we have rogue police officers. Now, I'm not going to call them police officers. We have thugs in uniform exercising and exerting excessive force on individuals, helpless individuals, I might add, because I am absolutely clear that this is not happening in the white community. I watched this family as they recounted that horrible and terrifying experience. All of us have seen the video. And darn it, I'm tired of this crap. It's gotta stop. The question I have: when are the lives of black people going to be respected and valued in this country, given all that we've experienced, given the terrible history of injustice, given the ongoing and the persistent injustice? When is the life, our very existence, going to be perched on a pedestal and to be cherished and to be highly regarded? Why are we always relegated to the lowest rung in society? When will we ever see the day that justice is served, when innocent black men, young and old and gray, and when are we going to see justice when black men are gunned down unjustifiably by police? I was happy to see last week or a couple of weeks ago when this young black man was making his way into the gas station. Police followed him. The guy gets out of his car because he apparently realized the police was following. He gets out of the car. The police demand that he gets his identification. He reaches in to get his identification at police demand. And then the police officer shoots him. Now the police officer was charged and arrested. Great. But we need to see more of that because I am tired of this nonsense. Until I see so-called good cops step up and rid their departments of these armed thugs, the notion of good cops, again, for me, remain in question. Because if you are an officer and you stand idly by as defenseless kids, a defenseless kid gets punched in the face, or a family is terrorized during a hurried trip to the hospital before a dying mother passes away, or you know that rogue cops are committing despicable racist acts against people of color, you don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. I can't call you a good cop. That is not going to happen. And I want to be absolutely clear. There are bigots and thugs lurking in police departments all across this country who are masking and seething in hatred for African-American men. And, of course, our community. That is a reality that we seemingly try to avoid. Now, I certainly admit, not all police officers set out during their shifts to hunt down young black men or terrorize our community. But I want you to listen to me and listen to me clearly. I have friends and family members who are police officers. Some of my officer friends are black, some are white, some are Hispanic, some are female, fitting every other category. But just as there are bigots and people that harbor prejudice and stereotypes in other professions, especially in positions of power, the police department, regardless of city, regardless of state, have in their ranks officers who are mired in their own prejudices and stereotypes. That is a reality. And unfortunately, when police officers have anger issues, bad dispositions, a horrible temperament, or perhaps have some hatred coursing through their veins and seeping from their heart, it leads to the kind of absolute terror that we saw in Hammond, Indiana. This is absolutely crazy. It leads to all kinds of situations. 51-year-old woman beaten, pummeled on a highway. 84-year-old woman slammed to the ground in a parking lot. Or a man who had just broken up a fight on perhaps May, he's accused of being of selling Lucy's. He wants to maintain a level of freedom, don't want to be touched, and he gets choked to death. There is not a police department, corporation, business, government agency, or private enterprise in this country that is immune from having in their ranks individuals that hold some type of prejudice or stereotypical judgments against folks of other races, folks of other gender, sexual orientation. And this is precisely why we need to change the laws that protect police, particularly when they are engaged in these kind of terrorist behaviors. And I'm going to call it as I see. This is terrorism being practiced on my community. I heard this conservative commentator say, well, he should have, referring to Jamar Jones, he should have just gotten out of the car, that the police are required, that we're required to obey the law when police officers ask us to get out of the car. Now, to some extent, I agree to that. But in the context of what we're seeing around the country, my community is scared. There is an absolute fear of these thugs. And you ask this man who just saw the police pull their guns out on him while he was trying to find identification. Of course, there's a natural inclination to be feared and shuttered in that car and to try in some small measure to protect his family. And you got some idiot running around here talking about, well, they should have gotten out. No! When are we going to be respected? And of course, this is the sentiment that is expressed by people who enjoy white skin privilege, who enjoys the freedom of not being stereotyped or profiled. And they can enjoy the roads and the highways of this country without the fear that black people experience every day when they encounter the police. He can say that crap. And I know I'm emotional here, but the bottom line is we're afraid. And so when I heard the statement, I'm asking myself, did this guy actually watch the interview? Did he see or hear the absolute fear in the voice of that child? Did the idiot hear what that family was saying? These folks were in absolute fear of their safety. And since when is the imagined, and in this case, phony fear of an officer trumps the very real fear of a family who is being targeted, harassed, and terrorized? I am telling you, as taxpayers, we are paying their salary. Our fears, our concerns should be of greater consideration, especially in the context to the tensions that exist between our community and the police. And what I saw on that video, what all of you have seen, is an outrage. It is sickening. And I'm tired of black men being gunned down by police. I'm tired of black men being gunned down by gang members. I'm tired of black men being gunned down by themselves. We are all tired of this. Let me circle back. Interestingly, what folks in other communities don't get is that there is an arrogance. When power-hungry thugs with a badge roam our streets like predators, looking for an opportunity to snatch the life of young black men. And the question for me, what plagues my spirit every time this issue emerges, is when are white folks, when is the rest of the country going to be outraged by this stuff? When are they going to express frustration that young black men are being unjustifiably killed by a group of thugs in uniform? They're quick to harp on black-on-black crime, but they are silent when the power and weight of the police comes barreling down on innocent, unarmed black men, young and old. And I suspect, family, that when their boys, when young white boys are senselessly murdered by uniformed thugs, we'll hear their outrage. And as I always say, when these issues make headlines, we, the black community, have to have this conversation. Black parents being required to talk to their sons specifically about how to interact with police. And as a black man, as a father of two sons, as an uncle of several nephews, this is an issue I and so many black parents worry about on a daily basis. I just had this conversation again with my son. And anytime we walk out our door, there is a profound and tangible concern about a negative interaction with police. White folks are not required to grapple with these concerns. This is real to us. This is not an imagined fear. This is based on years of experience. And it shouldn't be that we're forced to have these conversations with our sons about how to interact with police. This is an insult. This is a violation of my constitutional rights to engage an officer when he's wrong. White boys are not required to have these conversations. You have white folks walking around with assault rifles in certain states, and they aren't being harassed by police. You remember a couple of months ago, you had so-called militiamen pointing assault rifles at federal agents. They weren't gunned down. They weren't harassed. They weren't disrespected by police, and yet we are forced to have this conversation with our kids because police officers abuse their power. They're mired in a power trip, have a superiority complex when they patrol our communities, but they don't exercise that nonsense in other communities. This is despicable to me. What conversations are white fathers having with their damn sons about how to interact with police? This is crazy to me. Recent studies suggested that although blacks are 50 times more likely to be pulled over in a traffic stop, whites are 77% more likely to have contraband during a traffic stop. And yet we are the targets. And if you suggest to me that white boys aren't some of the most disrespectful, criminally oriented, or not involved in behaviors that invite police scrutiny, I have a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. The question is, where's the parity? Where's the equality? Where's the equity? Where's the notion of equal justice and equal enforcement in all communities? Many of these officers are not protecting and serving our community. They are in our communities to harass us and to harm us, to exert control and display a disdain for people they see as less than human. That's the bottom line. Ever since this unjustifiable killing of Michael Brown by Ferguson thug in a uniform, Darren Wilson, the internet, especially Facebook, has been inundated with videos of police misconduct and excessive use of force. And even worse, unjustified killing. And what is so profound on these videos, apart from the abuse or the killing, taking the lives of innocent kids, is the growing frustration of the crowds. And I am telling you right now, the moment will arrive. It will come when that gathered crowd will not stand by and watch another black man or kid get brutally beaten. The crowd will not stand by and watch a 54-year-old, possibly mentally challenged, get repeatedly punched in the face. The crowd will not stand by and watch the life being choked out of another innocent black man. The crowd will not stand by and film an 84-year-old woman being slammed to the ground as blood drains from her head. There's going to be a justified reaction to the detriment of the police officers. Their holstered weapons, their drawn weapons will not match the rage of a crowd of people who just beheld a senseless beating. Or worse, a killing. About to run out of time. I want to say this. I'm at that point where I'm tired of having to accommodate the irrational fears and anxiety of police officers. I've heard the excuse time and again, the officer feared, yada, yada, yada. I'm certainly sympathetic to the extraordinary job police contend with on a daily basis. Yes, let me just say this. There are some really terrific, I've encountered some really great police officers, but there exist in their ranks thugs. Crime is bad. These officers put their lives on the line every day. They face an uphill battle trying to bring crime down and maintain working relationships with various communities. But there comes a time, my friends, when the police have to hold their own accountable. There comes a time where the community have to hold police officers accountable, especially where innocent people are the victims of brutality, unjustified shootings. When a teenager gives up during a chase and a thug in uniform punches a defenseless kid in the face and knocks him to the ground only to be hit repeatedly by two officers when the cop orders a man to show ID when followed by the police and he absolutely tries to demonstrate that he's an innocent man and tries to show some ID. Don't tell me about good cops when good cops are allowing this crap to happen. We are tired of this stuff. This, what I saw on that video, is despicable. It is absolutely despicable. And what I want folks to understand when we are considering this issue is the fear, the abject fear that people experience. We're going to switch gears. Actress Raven Simone, you remember the sweet Raven Simone from The Cosby Show. Well, she made some interesting statements that lit up social media, and the backlash was swift and merciless. Of course, she indicated that she's not African American. She talked about her sexuality, and she talked about not wanting to be labeled. This is not about labeling. This is about a cultural identity. And I'm not going to hone in on her sexuality because her sexual preference is not my concern. And I will say, you know, she has an absolute right to her opinion, despite the ill-informed and silliness of her perspective. I want you to check out a piece that I wrote on our Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Websites, as well as our Old School 105.3 website. And I won't castigate Raven Simone, but I am going to make it abundantly clear why her perspective is completely ill-informed. The term African American bridges the gap between our ancestry and place of birth, and I am an African by ancestry, an American by birth. And so to me, this is a simple concept with profound consequences for our identity and our self-esteem as a people. Why is it that the Irish never questioned their ancestry? Why is it that the Polish never questioned their ancestry? The Greeks never questioned their ancestry. But for us, we're the only people with this feigned notion of patriotism, as if it's acceptable to minimize our cultural identity. This has nothing to do with labels. This is about our collective and individual identity as a race, as a culture, and as a people. And although you don't often hear the term Irish American, you can bet your last dollar that every Irish person in this country will refer to themselves as Irish with a great deal of respect and warmth toward Ireland. Why are we so ashamed of who we are? Why is our ancestry less important when others wholly embrace theirs? I'm in awe of my African ancestors who endured the horrors of slavery, the indignity of second-class citizenship, the inequities of discrimination, the injustices inherent in our justice system, the whims of economic downturns. Yes, my African and African-American ancestors who tethered to hostile social constructs and shouldered the burden of our freedom movements while people of other races were free to enjoy the trappings of material wealth, white privilege, and prosperity. I've never struggled with this question. Why? Because we are blessed to be the descendants of a people that sprang from the cradle of civilization, established the foundation of our religious and spiritual traditions, gaze into the heavens and navigate great bodies of water without the sophistication of contemporary technological advances. Slavery was indeed the fate of millions of my African ancestors. Our homeland was indeed pillaged and plundered and divided and parceled for the economic benefit of other nations. But there emerged the children of this great people, born in the Americas, whose hardship and toil and suffering would not only stain a nation, but through their blood redeem the very soil upon which a United States would stand. And for the sake of my grandmother, who toiled in the homes of white families to feed and clothe her own family, I wholeheartedly embrace my African American sentiment. For the sake of my beautiful African American mother, who nestled me in her arms and raised me to be the man that I am today, I'm an African American. For the sake of my community, my people, the motherland from which my ancestors sprang, and the place of birth from which I love, I am an African American, a black man, a man of color, a brother, father, husband, nephew, and a friend whose skin tone is of a dark hue. I'm proud of my DNA, my African heritage, my biology, my culture, my racial makeup, my skin tone, and my American citizenship. I will never deny, minimize, or relegate who I am as a black man to some feigned notion of patriotism. Raven Simone, I'm African American. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Breeze 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. We're going to keep an eye on the latest developments with regard to the lawsuit Lisa Mahone and Jamal Jones filed against the city of Hammond, Indiana, and the terrorism they experienced with the officers who themselves are the subject of yet another lawsuit for excessive force. We want to extend our prayers to the family of Thomas Duncan, who passed away this week as the result of the Ebola virus. I understand he has family here in North Carolina. We pray God comforts and strengthens his family and all the families who are coping with this disease here and in Africa. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show is also available on our Old School and Praise websites. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.